I'd say absolutely. It's part of the ownership of it. I'm really big on military bearing. It's a part of our discipline. It's part of our professionalism that when things are great, we don't really think about it. We expect you to be a professional. But when you have challenges, especially with change, and you ask people to be sometimes quiet advocates of what's going on, even though they may be adversely affected, now you know you've got a professional. There may be some colorful conversations, but they can happen between one or two that are responsible and are stakeholders. They need to have those moments to really talk things through, not necessarily in front of subordinates. But what I see in the development of this, it's the ownership from the top down, and it's part of knowing and building a team through change. It means that we really have to be, we have to see the willingness to sacrifice some of yourself. Professional is professional, but members can tell when someone's out for self. You go through an organizational change like that, people bleed through there like luminol. And what's good is, let's call it what it is, if you're a 12-year veteran and you've been in this guard family, and yes, people can change, but your character's well-developed. You probably are reputed by what you've done, said. There are things that we remember people have done two deployments ago, you know. But that being said, the opportunity to own the positive direction of the change, to nurture and bring other people up and say, at this point, you own your part of this change. Even if you, one of the toughest things I've had to do is I wasn't part of a decision, but I couldn't share my views of the decision, because in doing so meant more counter repair work on the other side of it. And but I think people read your actions just as well. And sometimes that's silence, and sometimes that's being vocal. Picking and choosing those moments in the change, they have big implications long term. I see this team, like others, there's a great deal of pride, whether you're a load master, whether, again, if you're a PRF2 instructor, you take pride in your job and your myopic team. But I want to know, how proud are you of the operations group? How cool is that when we show up at the airport? It might be onesies and twosies, but we're there. And we are truly glad to see each other, and we're there to help each other. I think our tenacity is there, and I think in the days and years to come, we'll see it. We'll see it. One of the things I saw is right after some of the changes were definite and were being implemented, I'd say at the top levels, your senior NCOs, for example, and even some of your senior officers, you could see a concern for the future development, all the plans, even things like you may have had four or five potential TDYs, for example, things like that, that these airmen have worked for. They've earned merit in doing it, whether it was specialized training or whatever. But remember, you get a new commander, you've got some decisions to make. Overall, the commander may trump whatever plans you may have. It was more of at the higher levels, it was, how does this in the interim change how I take care of my people? What's been in play? What's forgivably changeable, and what's going to be frozen? One of the first things we think about is finance. It should be a priority, because with a new commander, the things we've done may come to a screeching halt. Everything's going to need a signature right away. And so immediately I saw the strategic change was, let's not stop our momentum, but let's still make sure we're taking care of the business of this TFI. Let's take care of the business of training, requesting training slots. Let's push that because we have some uncertainty. The other side was making sure the seniors, you could tell they were not vocal about the negatives with their people. The negatives were there, and you could see it at the lower tiers. It was being discussed, so it was less of, you're right, this sucks. I didn't hear as much of that. It was more of, we've got a plan for you. We have a plan for the team. This is how this goes. One of the concerns beyond the financial implication was on this side of the house, on the west side of the base in the TFI. Remember, when you talk group level, whenever there are issues between two groups, let's say the active duty commander and got a new group commander for the guard, immediately senior team with good reason says, where does the fighting power come on issues? Things like office space, that changes everything. That changes our identity. What about issues with personnel? What about issues of flight time, equity in that? What about communication? You know, we have a plan for flying a certain line on the UTA weekend. Well, a day or two before, someone on the active duty changes that. Well, if you have a new group commander or no group commander, that's a hard fight. Can you fight that? Yes, you can. Do you have somebody who's got the reputation and has the courage to put things on the table to advocate for your people? Because if the senior team doesn't see it, then the junior teams don't see it either. And so there was a real concern that, we saw this for years, rather than just to say the previous commander was a dynamic one, the change was, will we be able to maintain equitable levels of fight and weaponry when it came down to that? It was confidence in our foregone plan to how we execute business, how we do daily business in the operations group. So it was preservation for that. The middle tier of team members, I saw that usually in group span of 10 to 20 people, it was a concern for retention. And how do you maintain hope in that change? Some of these members haven't been around as long. You've got a senior master sergeant or a lieutenant colonel. They've seen some things here at the unit. They know when to panic and when to not. You can see on their face, if they're not concerned about it, you shouldn't be concerned about it. That middle tier, no, they've been around 6 to maybe 8 years, maybe 10 years or better, and maybe they don't have all of the information that suggests we need to really, you know, change a lot. But I think the philosophy of what we accomplish on the weekends, certifications, the general upkeep and the housekeeping of how are my people doing, what's our climate like, that became real evident in the middle tier. They took care of the lower tier in a big way. There were people who stepped up and were calling all the members before drill weekend in a way they hadn't before, making sure they're taken care of. We have a lot of issues that go unpublicized. We take care of business with safety and things like lodging. Lodging became a big issue. We've got people dealing with an organizational change at the group level, but that has absolutely nothing to do with them driving in, getting off work in Farmington, at 5 o'clock, driving in with crazy traffic and coming into a hotel that just had two break-ins in cars in the parking lot and having to deal with that. So there was more of the supervisors taking care of people in those ways and communicating more with the first sergeants. It was probably the most aggressive of times during that transition. And believe it or not, the good that came out of it was where previously your lower tiers of officers and enlisted weren't communicating the issues they had now, since there was the middle tier asking, are you good? Are you okay? What can we do for you? We heard you look sleepy this morning. Did you get enough sleep? Well, no, sir. There was a party going on in my room, the room next door to me, till 3 or 4, and I was complaining about it, and it just wouldn't stop. You know, we were putting an end to that foolishness, because now the lower tier says, hey, they're on top of this. We need to voice this. And yeah, we put some tools in their path to better do that and better cope. But what I saw was the senior teams were more on preserving our fight and the mission piece, and that identification. Middle tier was more in preserving the day-to-day tactical operations. Are we well enough? The readiness. Are we good in ARCNET? They were taking care of that. And then I think what we also saw was that there were fewer incidents that would suggest we'd have, discipline. It seems like we saw less frequent of those kind of concerns. It's not that we were all just on our best behavior. It was more of our focus was on stay ready, stay resilient, and stay in this transitional change, because whatever the outcomes are, it still means we need to be representative of what we do every day. And that's all. That was a really good thing.
Sounds like the stress that your unit underwent. I keep coming back to this because I hear examples of you saying that the stress that was caused by that leadership change brought out the best in your people.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of a trademark of an American airman. That's how we function. You stress us and we step up.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Absolutely.
I wonder, let's go back to, you mentioned early in our conversation about a member that went home and said to his wife, theoretically, oh, you wouldn't even believe what's happening at the wing. I wonder, did you see that organizational anxiety? Were individuals taking that home, and did you see that anxiety radiate through family structures?
Immediately, when the changes were published, yeah, I did see a lot more being taken home, and what was good is, consequently, when those changes were being made, the reason we know that those things were impacting home and that they were taking them home is because we'd have some events, either here on base, we had one or two that were off base, that I got a chance to talk to the spouses. You know, they're there together. Hey, what's going on with you? And the spouse would speak up, and that let me know, okay, there's some real concerns about this. And part of it, too, was not just the change. Part of it was reflective of the fact that the previous leadership had a great rapport with not just the member, but the families. So I wish that it could have been limited care and concern just for the members, but no, contraire mon frère. I actually got a couple of stops in the commissary, you know, where it's like, hey, can I talk to you? And this is a spouse, and with some really, you know, big concerns, if not for just the implications for the sponsor's future, their growth and development. It was more of a concern of, hey, we feel like a family. Should we not feel like a family going forward? Is this, because this may change, you know. New alliances are built, and what we've been able to trust on relationships now has to be reproven. Mm-hmm. And so it was just some of the anxiety. It was the first time I think that I'd given thought to the fact that we were dealing with some real pillow talk about how we affect your home life, mm-hmm. You know. And sure, there were some concerns that you might expect traditionally with change, more so with would the organization itself in promotion opportunities, would that change? Is the commander going to advocate for training like we've counted on up until this point? And will I be able, and will my family be able to respond to either new inflexibilities? You know, we have one member. In fact, he's no longer with our team. He's retired, but he had been a coach for soccer for years, and he was very fortunate that oftentimes his soccer game for his kids was at lunchtime on Saturdays. Definitely couldn't make a lot of those meetings and a lot of those games. But as the coach, of course, we know that's important. So if a manager or a leader sees the value in that and they're able, if the mission is flexible enough to accommodate lunch that way and they did it, with good reason, this person should say, well, this probably is going to not work out the way it has. I may have to just not be a coach and my kids will have to get over it. Or, you know, in other words, it's just a change that we don't just assume that leadership is going to be okay with this. It seems subtle. It seems like something small, but that was a very real concern. It meant that we had to get away from this idea that having a new commander that you're unaware of, don't have a relationship with, it doesn't mean we're forcing ourselves into a traditional active duty component role. There was a concern about that. But the commander was very good about his transition. He was very thoughtful and mindful of his people. And I would say, I'd say this with both the old and new leadership here in the same room with me. If they were both here, I'd say, you know, we really could not ask for more given the relationships and given the fiber of the people in our team. It went as well as anyone could have asked for, and it's still there, but not because someone imposed that. That took the courage and the heart of people to see something longer term. And I'm grateful because it also meant my workload has been maintained at a workable level. I was really concerned selfishly that, hey, you know, I might have to bring a cot out here because, you know, we got a good team. You start shaking the cage and poking the bear, there's going to be some real homework, you know, every week. But it really meant that these guys knew what was required of them long term. They did step up, and I do believe that if we were to interview some of the NCOs and some of the airmen after the transition, and if you said once this change was in your lap, would you have imagined that we would be where we are now given that time frame? I think most of them would say no. And again, we're not all there yet, but I've not seen this kind of organizational resilience and positive reinforcement. I've seen here even recently, there's kind of been a good calibration of this from the senior leadership in the group where and not just the group commander, his team, they are really good about kind of going back and saying, are we still good? Are there still some bumps in the road we need to handle? What's keeping you from, you know, from getting what you need? Or are there some personnel issues? Are you having problem with active duty? Are you working these at the lowest level? So it didn't mean that people had to do that. The senior team here wants to do that, and we've had some issues that, because they were proactive about it, have made transitions and made some very tough decisions just a little bit easier. New commander comes in and says, "Hey, here's my expectation for my leadership, and here's my expectation for all the airmen." He lay it out there, and then we all have to go back into our groups and say, "By the way, I didn't tell you what my expectations was, but." Now I have to talk about my expectations and the commander's expectations. Mm-hmm. And then we say, what are your expectations of your team and your leadership? So it's been just a good revamping and a good revisiting of where we should be, instead of us waiting a year or 2 years or for some inspection or for some AFI to determine when we should have this interval of discussion. I see them happening more frequently and more candidly. And I think because of that, we don't have airmen surprised about the feedbacks. We don't have supervisors surprised about promotional recommendations. I think this group they're gritty. They are professional, but I think that they are in the stages of team development. We are still in storming, but it's a good storm. It's an impressive storm.
Do you think that this particular commander, his approach of, it sounded to me like he was pretty transparent. He communicated pretty consistently and openly with the unit. Am I hearing that correctly? And then talk to me about what impact that had, positive or negative, on both the beginning of this transition and then months past this.
That's a good question. I can tell you the biggest impact that the expectations and his laying out of those expectations was incrementally, you could see his work. There would be a meeting where we'd say, timeline is this, and we're going to do this by this time. It really wasn't, we're going to see if we can, you know, it'd be nice if we could, you know. No, we were going to do this, and this is what I know we can do. And hey, by the way, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We know we need to have this in place before we move to this. It was good to see that within 2 months, we were sitting there in a strategic planning session that he had said we were going to have. We didn't have to email him or ask him twice, sir, are we going to do this? No, it was, we're doing it. We're literally doing it. And again, I didn't have to agree with any of it. It made it easy to say, I can get around this and I can sell this and I can ask others in supervision to rally around this, because there's something in motion. And it meant that too, in that impact, although we couldn't see all the end results, we saw that he made some commitments, but he also said, even if we do these things in this sequence, in this time, we may not see all of this, but we're going to be better positioned, you know, for this or something else. So it was his strategic direction, along with the incremental timelines. It was making an impact, and it was drawing confidence. And I think the rest of the organization started to see that. And again, that transcended agreements of it. It was how many times do we say, well, someone wants to solicit something as simple as a Girl Scout cookies or whatever. You know, one of the things we always ask if someone's selling something, what's this money going to? If I know that you're working towards something, I'm willing to contribute. I may not agree with all of it, but I see you doing something and it's going to benefit somebody. Well, in the same vein, we saw, well, he sees something on the cliff that I may not see. He's in a role and has the responsibility of communicating this, and whether or not I see it isn't even a factor. I need to get beyond it, and in doing so, I started to see there's some grass growing here. We're seeding some things, and sometimes we had to pray for some rain, but the seeds were still there. And I see even now, it was easier to work through some of the concerns that legitimately some of the senior NCOs and some of the senior team had, but they weren't hard discussions. They were, what do you think of this? And we soon recognized this commander not only brought a network, he was more advanced in his view of what strategy was. His experience even at higher MAGCOM suggested that he knew the mechanics and what the machine was supposed to look like. From our view, we all had gears in mind. We knew what the outcomes should be, but this commander brought the whole box. He brought the manual, the instructions, the warranty, with no guarantees, but certainly with the credibility required for us to even buy into some of it.
I'm a firm believer that all of us, from E1s to 06s, 07s, need to be open to learning from great leaders and maybe not so great leaders. So I'm curious if you personally have found nuggets that you can add to your personal leadership toolbox from this experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the openness of receiving someone with a completely different background, that was big for me. I like to believe I'm very open-minded. But when you see positioning, you know, the guard is, we laugh about nepotism and pre-selection. We say around here jokingly, we've seen applications that fit tighter than gloves, you know. But so there are some moments in our clarity where we say conspiracy theories, you know, if you see smoke, is it always fire? No. I had the exercise of letting this leader have his moment in my trust. And I had to be patient enough to let what he was telling me take hold. And I would say, make sure you maintain that patience. Don't try to get the entire painted picture because you may not have the same view. But be open to it and trust that any successes that you have as a team and a mission set, very seldom will you find a commander that wants to fail. So, you know, I have to trust we're on this team together. You're not telling me this because you just are challenging me. You really do want us to execute, and you trust that I can do that. So, yeah, it's being patient, not taking any preconceived notions, and certainly not basing your impression on where they came from. I would be very open to say our current commander had a great deal of experience with National Guard Bureau. And I say, what does that mean for me? Well, from my perspective, anything that comes from National Guard Bureau is a decision. You know, I've never really talked to people there. So if I have someone here who's been there, there's the thought that, well, he probably is networked. He probably knows people. But is he going to be committed enough to what we do here to get our time and attention? And will we be open enough to say whether he's here for 2 years or 10? Isn't it true that for whatever reason, we can rally behind him because we're going to deal with it? So it's really in our best interest to forget what we thought about NGB. Let's make sure we're looking at the individual. Forget the acronyms. Let's look at the individual. And that's me speaking to my own soapbox. I think that's something I've learned. And then lastly, never underestimate the positive resilience of your people. I was more concerned about how they would view and receive a new commander, especially one that wasn't from here, New Mexico or otherwise. But they stepped up in a big way, and not because I asked them to step up. A lot of those folks just got it. And yeah, we had some days where they, you know, some needed a come here talk, you know, or a headlock, whatever we could get away with. But for the most part, I think I too underestimated their ability to see it for what it was as a change and to stay focused on what was at hand. Those are three things that I learned from this transition that if I could tattoo those on my arm there, which I probably won't, but if I could, they'd be worthy of it, you know.
So I think for me, in summary, what I'm hearing from you is that although an organizational change can be and a stress-causing event, an anxiety-causing event, often an organization will rally, and in the long run, it can be a positive change. Individuals grow, and the organization grows. What do you have any final thoughts for us, Shirt?
I would agree with you. I don't know that the growth is at the same rate. We talk about organizational growth and personal. One can be at a higher acceleration than the other, and that's okay. When we, as First Sergeants and just as leaders, when we safeguard our people in these times of change, we never have to be apologetic for that. Shame on you if you think I won't be. But for the sake of mission and understanding it takes people to make those mission sets happen, I would say we have to stay vigilant in what our purpose is here. We have to constantly look at our wing and group, and if so, squadron, mission statements. What's our vision? And call each other out on those things. The things we do, how we transition. If you say we're resilient as a wing, did we see that with the wing commander change? If we didn't, we need to change our vision, because that's not what we are, if that's the case. And have the honesty of knowing we just have to revisit one another for our own personal growth. Let's take criticism as it is. It's a growth opportunity. If I look back at the changes that were made and I said, did I usher in the most effective change for our folks? My answer as I look in the mirror may be, nope, I didn't. But if I had to do it again, which I may, what will I do different? What advice will I give the next shirt who's going through this? What will my conversation be with the next superintendent who is experiencing a command change and has real legitimate concerns about whether their style will integrate? I can speak to that now, and I can do so without reservation, and I can rest knowing that even if my growth is a bit slower than some of my counterparts, when I see this tidal wave moving, I can definitely say it's worth the patience put in seeing the organization as a whole accept and apply those changes. It will happen. Trust me, it's ugly. It's necessary. And we need not avoid the very difficult challenges that are in that middle section. You get past that middle section, you're going to be fine. It will work out. Keep a cool head. Maintain your military bearing in your conversations, your emails. Shut up when you need to shut up. Speak when you need to speak. And be the professional airman that we know and that this Air Force and Air National Guard deserves.
Thank you, Shirt. I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.